Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
May 6, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, the day after Cinco de Mayo, which is just the 5th of May. But anyway, and it's not the 4th being with you and all that good stuff. Weird how the beginning of May is just loaded with all these holy days to certain people who find certain things holy. Funny that I bring that up, I think, because tonight, yes, indeed, I'm not drunk, I'm not stoned. I'm going to interview Santa Claus. I am interviewing Santa Claus. I'm not kidding. I know I just laughed, but I'm not kidding at all. J.G. Michael from Parallax Views podcast, the brilliant podcaster over there, interviewed a man named Santa Claus. And I saw that and said to myself, I don't even want to listen to the interview. I want to talk to this man. Because he legally changed his name to Santa Claus. Now, I've seen guys over the years, researchers, different people, people in the media, et cetera, et cetera. And I know it's Friday night and you guys are looking for the call-in show, but don't worry, we'll get to that at 9 p.m. and we might even extend it tonight. We'll get there. But the phone lines are not open because I've got all the caller I need on the phone right now. Santa Claus, I'm not kidding. Okay. If you don't follow Parallax Views, maybe you don't know about this, and that's cool. I know we share a couple of listeners, but man, I couldn't turn it down. I said, I got to talk to Santa Claus. I've literally just based on that alone. It didn't even matter what he was doing, but it turns out there's actually an interesting and important story in here. Not just the name change and not just, you know, some movie plot or something. Okay, this is not Tim Allen. this is Santa Claus. So never, ever thought I'd be uttering this phrase out of my mouth, but I want to welcome Santa Claus to the O'Shelly Effect. Santa Claus, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Hi, Chuck. I'm feeling great. Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me.
I know I'm being a little jokey about, but you know, how could I not, right? You know, I knew a guy named John Judge, and when he got older, he started growing a long white beard, and people started saying he looked like Santa Claus in a sweater. I've known other guys, they get a little older, they grow the longer white beard, and indeed, they start to look like Santa Claus. And oh, by the way, I once was a mall Santa, just so you know. I was 17 at the time, so I didn't have the long white beard of my own. But, you know, so other guys have called other guys Santa Claus forever. As soon as they get a little older, they get a little paunch maybe, right? Their hair starts to recede a little, and the long beard comes out, and it's white or gray or rather light one way or another. A lot of people have said, you look like Santa Claus, and start calling their friends Santa Claus and stuff. You actually changed your name. Could you tell me how that came about in short? Because I want to get to the important issues. Sure. And your campaign. And no, it's not a campaign to save Christmas. Don't start with me on the Fox News stuff. Listeners, I'm saying, don't start with me on the Fox News war against Christmas. I'm literally talking to a guy who's legally named Santa Claus. And there's a good reason for it. We're going to get there. And it's not all jokes. Okay. But I got to be honest. At first, I was like, you're kidding, right? But no, you're actually named Santa Claus. So could you tell us how that came to be? And, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I've been a volunteer child advocate for child health, safety, welfare for decades. And it started when I was in school. I came from an upper middle class, family. And when I went to a boarding school, fairly privileged education and upbringing, I met a lot of people in boarding school who weren't coming from upper middle class families, who might have been coming from different countries even. Mm-hmm. And I listened to what they had to say and kind of took it to heart. And as I went through school and went through seminary and was working in public safety, I saw these children that's kind of falling through the cracks of, you know, the social services systems and stuff. They weren't that well coordinated, mm-hmm. didn't have that, you know, strong resources and stuff. So I developed this heart for vulnerable children in dire straits. And to make a long story short, like you asked, and I was doing the child advocacy, and I was living at Lake Tahoe at the time, and this was in 2004, And I grew out my beard just for fun, and it came out white and bright, and people said, just what you said before, you ought to do the Santa thing and, you know, have fun with it, which I did as a volunteer for about 30 nonprofits around Lake Tahoe in this beautiful area. I was on the Nevada side, and it was well received. Mm-hmm. So I figured, well, you know, I'd already been having some success with getting hold of state and federal legislators to talk about things like child abuse, neglect, exploitation, abandonment, homelessness, institutionalization, SCHIP, foster care, adoption, that sort of stuff. And I figured, well, you know, maybe I can reach a greater number of people than just doing my little child advocacy stuff. So when I had the beard, that, you know, after the winter was over, after the holiday season was over, in February, I was walking in the snow way up in the mountains to the post office, and I was praying, as monks tend to do. I'm a Christian monk, by the way. And I was walking to the post office, and I had this prayer, you know, what should I do with this appearance? You know, how can I help these children? So about 20 seconds after I finished my prayer, this white sort of nondescript car came up the icy road, and its windows were open. So I figured, oh, cold day. So I was kind of paying attention. And right as it went by, right after my prayer, this male voice shouted out, Santa, I love you. Never saw the car again, never found out who said it, but I took it to heart because that was, I mean, right, that's what I was praying about. And mm-hmm. the next day, I went to the county clerk and started the name change process. So legally, in 2005, my name became Santa Claus.
Well, that's excellent.
That's how it happened.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. Now, I want to ask you a specific question about this because, you know, I have also been involved in different fundraisers and different activities with different types of ministers, some of them a little unconventional, you know, some reformed guys who are now like running, you know, say the motorcycle ministries and things like this. And honestly, when it comes around to Christmas time, a lot of people come out of the woodwork. They want to give toys. They suddenly are, you know, very concerned about families who are less fortunate around them. And then the holiday season disappears. And, you know, a lot of those people go away, and they'll come back again next year. But truthfully, it's the rest of the year. Yes, indeed, it's tough. And I was a poor kid, and definitely a kid who fell, you know, between the cracks, and always sympathized and always wanted to, if I had anything to give, put it forward into making, you know, some of these kids' lives better, some of these families' lives better. And I appreciate all that. Now, I've never been a monk per se. I'm an ordained minister now, but multi-faith, and I serve just those who come to me and ask. You know, but it's a very strange thing when you get into this and people think of it, and then they forget about it quite often. It's like just during the holiday season, generosity comes around. And frankly, I think that's a great story that you took as a sign, just the things that came to you while you were praying, while your mind was in the right set, and you were saying, what is it I can do? You ask, and guess what? Sometimes you get answered. And often you get answered. Maybe sometimes you don't necessarily understand the answer right away, but that was pretty clear. Somebody said, "Hey, Santa Claus." Yeah. So that's a great story because it's just completely random. It's not something that happens to you every day. I'm sure you walked around a long time with that beard, and that kind of thing didn't happen in exactly that moment to give you that signal. So that's great. And the idea that, you know, you're seeing the vulnerable that are out there, and you want to advocate for them, you want to assist them, you don't want to just do toys for tots, you know. You're out there doing that. So there is a general thing that you wanted to serve, and that's actually what being a minister is serving. You wanted to serve the less fortunate, yes, of course, but also the most vulnerable of the less fortunate. And that's, listen, that is just, how can you ask for someone to start with a greater motivation? So you start the process, you get that done. That's great. And you'd already started to work with some of the politicians, which, by the way, if you're going to do anything of significance, right, this is for the listener, not for you, but if you're going to do anything of significance, you try and involve what? The community leaders, and then maybe you move on to the guys who run the county, and then you look to the state a little bit. You look to any which way that you can get something redirected into the right hands to help the people that just don't have. And that's one of those things you start doing. And so that's great. But now we've got another step in this story because, as you said, you know, you started there and you decide to change your name. Okay, that's not all there was to it. You did other work. So could you give us a little bit of the next stage of this story?
Sure. Well, the next stage, I'll go to the pre-Santa stuff in a moment, but that would sort of prime me for this. But now, as Santa Claus, or then as Santa Claus in 2005, mm-hmm. I was calling up legislators, mostly chiefs of staff and policy directors, people like that, talking about specific legislation or asking them to draft specific legislation to protect child health, safety, and welfare. I was calling as, hey, Chuck, this is Santa Claus from Lake Tahoe. That's kind of nice, and I could usually get through to a politician like a governor, a senator, or a representative. But I figured, I was having some success with that. I figured, what if this was Santa Claus from North Pole? So I looked up, did my research, and there is North Pole, Alaska. I've been a councilman here for a couple of terms now, and I'm the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission. And I figured, I just move up to North Pole, and now I can call up legislators and say, hey, this is Santa Claus from North Pole. Could I speak to Senator so-and-so or Governor so-and-so? And the calls, about 95% of the time, go pretty much through. So it's a very powerful tool. It sounds sort of ridiculous, but that's what I use it for year-round. In fact, I went on a Santa's Bless the Children tour about 15 years ago to all the states, plus the District of Columbia, where I was born, by the way, mm-hmm. and talked to legislators about these issues, and it was well-received. And what the staff's people told me, like a week or two later when I'd follow up about certain legislation or whatever, they would say, our boss sees 20 or 30 people a day asking them for something, and the one person they remember is you, Santa Claus. So not only being well received, but having what I was bringing to the table on behalf of children well received as well was very important. So I just kept doing it, and right. Now I get to do it as Santa Claus and North Pole, Alaska.
Well, I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm finding this remarkable that you take the general sort of, holiday trope and you turn it into this. I would have thought, honestly, if somebody presented this to me as an idea ahead of time, I would have said, they're going to just laugh at you. You're not going to get through to these people if you're going to make this. I would have thought the opposite, honestly, right? I'm wrong, go ahead.
What most people don't realize that what I bring to the table before the Santa years actually has some relevance. Okay. I'm a former special assistant to the Deputy Police Commissioner of New York City, a former member of FEMA's National Defense Executive Reserve while I was director of the Terrorism Research and Communications Center. It's also Chief of Safety and Security of the U.S. Virgin Islands Port Authority, been a public safety agency, emergency response chaplain. I taught at universities, colleges, and the NYPD Academy. I had my bachelor's and master's degrees from New York University, where I completed all my doctoral coursework in education, communication, and technology. And I didn't do a dissertation. I did a couple of seminaries. And what I got out of all of that, the bottom line is, and that's what I'm applying now, is we all are too, and you'll know this because you're clergy as well, out of everything, love one another, period.
Mm-hmm. No, that simple message is universal and highly ignored by those that are often caught up in the minutiae of things. Now, what's curious here is that you simultaneously were in a spiritual learning stage, but also you had immersed yourself in a culture that, quite honestly, I find to be quite toxic often, which is, that conversion of government and academia, where, frankly, if you don't understand that culture, you will not navigate it well. And I don't mean you specifically. I mean the general right. You. It's very difficult to navigate all that without some level of exposure, some level of experience. And you got a well-rounded experience just based on that description. And I have read a few things about your experiences. Of course, I started with the easiest thing. So I wanted you to explain the rest of this. But I mean, even when you're talking about working with counterterrorism and in New York, which, a viper's den is the best way I can describe you know, working in New York when it comes to, because I'm from New York and New Jersey. I know I'm sitting in Macon, Georgia today, but I'm from that area. And the culture of law enforcement, politics, all of these things which you would have had to contend with up there doesn't exactly lend itself very well with any sort of spiritual balance, okay, to be kind, right? But the fact that you were able to negotiate with that and accomplish things and continue to, I hate to use the word evolve, but it is the best word here, to evolve your understanding and your personal intelligence, all of this is now beneficial if you want to get something done. You have to understand the system, even if you don't like it. You have to understand the system in order to function in it, especially when you have something to accomplish that is so insurmountable to some people. And frankly, when you're talking about being an advocate for children, it seems like everybody agrees that this is a thing that should be done. I mean, almost nobody says, I'm against children, I'm for abuse. You know, nobody says that, but the resistance, the problems, the lack of desire to fund these things is just a headache and an uphill battle if you're coming at this. And if you don't understand the system, you know, you might as well be walking up the side of a cliff. I mean, it's just hard. So, you know, help me to understand this. Like, all that came together and gave you the tools, basically, and you were able to learn all this. I mean, do you think this is something you could have done earlier in life, or did you have to take, because it sounds to me like it took many years to gather all of these.
It took many years.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it took many years. When I was in school, I was overweight and I was bullied and didn't like it. And then I sort of lost weight and stuff and protected other kids who were being bullied.
Right.
And when I was working my way through undergraduate school, I worked nights as a bouncer in New York City, which is a very tough job in a tough place to do it. And I was very good at it. So kind of learned to find common ground with people if you can. And if you can't, you know, then in my case, bad Santa comes out. But just
gotcha.
Knowing how to sort of do that in a responsible and respectful way goes a long way to helping children, because it's the same kind of resistance you were just talking about a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you kind of have to gauge a situation, try and figure out a way to accomplish, let's say, you know, co-sponsoring a bill or drafting legislation or something with enough people that it overcomes the resistance you were referring to earlier. So sort of negotiating skills a little bit, finding common ground. It's just like what we're seeing with Russia and Ukraine and stuff. All wars are against children.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. And if we can instill love and peace in the heart of each and every child first, they don't grow up wanting to go to war. Mm-hmm. Going to war means you are protecting your resources, whether it's people or, you know, minerals or whatever, or you want somebody else's.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. So if children grow up knowing, even though one has to have a balance in life of sorts, knowing that that's not acceptable, we're all better off.
Hmm.
And I don't see a whole lot of that today. So I'm glad you're asking these questions, because your listeners, I think most of their hearts would go out towards child health, safety, and welfare. You know, it's kind of a straightforward issue, all of us having been children at one point. And along the way, things kind of got messed up. And I've had the benefit of being on both sides of the equation, trying to fix things from inside, trying to fix things from outside the best I can. You know, this one guy, and trying to be creative about it. And everybody has the opportunity. You have it, you know, doing what you're doing, which is very, very helpful, putting things into perspective and giving, you know, people some hope and some direction. And each of us, you know, has our gifts and blessings and stuff, and we're supposed to use them. We're not supposed to sit on them.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to employ all this stuff. These are, you know, gifts, in my view, from God, and or people believe in a creator or whatever. It's just a good thing to do. and we only have a limited amount of time here, so why not do it?
Absolutely. And you know, the thing here to remember, I always say, is that even in times when you're being tried, even in times when there is a great deal of struggle and you're on the bad end of things, which, by the way, I've been a bouncer too. I did it in Jersey, though, I got to say. And it's just as interesting. I was the guy that used to get sent up front to talk. You understand? Because I was only 6 foot tall and maybe, you know, 220, 230. So the other guys were, you know, monsters next to me. But I would have the conversation. Let's rationalize. You know, and quite often I avoided a lot of things by simply making sense and coming to some common understanding with somebody who might be a little drunk or might be a little angry, or, you know, they're high, they came into the place, whatever. Different circumstances, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to go home in one piece if they can.
Right.
You know, and that was my job, and I understood that. Now, when it comes to kids... Now, I don't know if I actually haven't, I'm not aware of this. Do you have any children of your own, by chance?
I have a stepson who's in his 40s now, a really nice guy.
Very cool.
Bright.
Well, you know, when you have children, right, that's yet another perspective. Now, it's not necessary for you to have raised children to care about them, but, you know, it does give you another perspective. And conflict resolution... in various ways is an obvious given needed skill if you're going to deal with all these different, again, different agencies, different groups of people, individuals who will disagree about everything. And yet, as I said before, they will come together and say, no, we all agree that children should be protected. Now, we may have different ideas about that. We may have different priorities about that. So all of this is extremely relevant. Now, we also touched on a bit of your history, and you talked about the pre-Santa Claus stuff. That's great. But, you know, now you're at the North Pole, and you're actually a council member. Explain that to me in detail, like what it is you exactly do for the North Pole, which is not, you know, the North Pole exactly, but the North Pole in Alaska, right? Which I know you
North
mentioned.
Yeah, North Pole, it's a little city.
Yeah, it's a little city. So what do you do there? And, you know, tell me about what it is you're looking to do next, too. I want to get into that before we run out of time.
When I first moved up here with the name and all the rest of it, I was doing the child advocacy. But people said, oh, you ought to become run for president of the local chamber of commerce, which I did and enjoyed for a couple of years. And Buffett did better off than I found it. And at that point, I was starting to get fairly well known, not just because my name, but just because I was doing. And they said, oh, you got to run for city council. And so I did. And it's kind of an easy thing to do if you're named Santa Claus. You're in a small town of 2,200 named North Pole in Alaska.
I suppose and, name recognition would not be a difficult thing there. Go ahead. Sorry.
And then after my first 3-year term, and we basically just administer the city. You know, other people basically run it in a practical sense, but we're the ones who do the budget stuff and the nuts and bolts of, you know, administration. So to make a long story short, so I took a year off from council, and I was serving on the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission because I had run a radio and TV station before, and they liked, you know, what my sort of plans were, so I helped a little bit with that. Then I ran for city council again and won another 3-year term, which is ending this year in September.
Right.
So people must like what I had to say because I got reelected, and I'm just a little blue dot in a big red sea. If you look at the state this way, the North Pole is one of the most conservative communities here. Anyway, we only have 2,200 souls, but you know, some of the issues are challenging, like water pollution and, you know, PFAS, PFOA, you know, things like that any city would be worried about. But as far as the Alaska stuff goes, I sort of got interested in, while, you know, serving on council, I was interested in a lot of state-related issues, and the three that are coming up that I would address if I were to be elected in Alaska are infrastructure, you know, like broadband, expanding that for businesses and schools and defense capabilities and stuff like that up here.
Right.
You know, roads, you know, highways, rail, for instance, rail to Canada. Protecting fisheries. We have a mine that people want to put in, but it's right next to one of the biggest salmon fisheries in the world, which I don't think is probably a good idea. And we have protected native, you know, indigenous First Peoples land up here, which most people have heard about, ANWR, you know, the Arctic refuge up here. So I'm for kind of protecting things like that, the environment sort of stuff. So even though you and I or other people may have differing views, I think most people can generally agree, at least from a protecting children's point of view, there are certain things one might want to do just to create a little bit better future for them and not necessarily concentrate on the immediate, you know, quick, you know, solution to something. And also military, we have a big responsibility. Plus the climate thing, with permafrost disappearing, that's going to have some impact on pandemic stuff and some other things, not to mention our relationship with other Arctic nations and also the military, because it has some impacts on how the military operates here with the defense array and some other things. And sorry, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask specifically about the, because we don't get a lot of news, honestly, about the issues that involve the indigenous people there. And some people might say, well, look, that's just a liberal issue alone, but I would say that that it's actually very complex when you have a First Nation or a previous to First Nation people that have rights and have land and all that, and you want to protect it all from an environmental standpoint, but there's special issues there that I think a lot of people don't really understand. You know, they've seen in recent years, say, different tribes protesting against pipelines in other places, stuff like this. And I actually think that Alaska is a little different than the lower 48 when it comes to this issue. So I wonder if you wouldn't enlighten us a little bit about that and explain. Also, I mean, clearly, just for the record, it sounds to me like Santa Claus is on the left. Just in case people, you know, and I'm not a big fan of the typical left or right side of the paradigm. I'm one of these guys who's fed up with everybody. But you know what? When it comes to trying to make the future better, this is everybody's job, and I don't care what color tie you want to wear. Okay?
Right.
So
exactly, yeah. We have big issues with energy up here, as you were saying, particularly with respect to defense. You know, the war stuff heating up with Russia, it's becoming more profound of an issue up here, but we have major energy resources, whether it's mining or oil, gas, that sort of stuff. And the only issue, I'm not against developing natural resources in a responsible way. You know, it happens all over the world, and some places are better at it than others, you know, with respect to the environment and some other issues related to it. But up here, a lot of people are sitting on their leases doing nothing. They're just fallow, but they want to expand them in another area, you know, use the ones you have or lose them, you know. I mean,
right.
Plus the state is subsidizing these energy companies and they're laughing all the way to the bank. So that's what I have a problem with. I'm not against developing natural resources. You know, I mean, we have plenty up here. And with the way things are going with energy here and defense and all the other considerations right now because of Russia, you know, I wouldn't say sympathetic, but I'm cognizant of all the array, you know, from the left to the right. I personally am an independent, progressive, democratic underlying socialist, and that means I work in a capitalist system, in a democracy,
right.
And I try and do a little bit of social reform on the way without it being too jarring for, you know, anybody. You know, something for people to consider. If they like it, great. If they don't, you know, no harm done. So I sort of feel like you do. I'm aware of the entire spectrum of the political stuff. I tend to stay pretty much in the center myself, but I'm left-leaning. I have affinity for Bernie, and you know Bernie. So
sure.
That kind of puts it in perspective. But I try to do it from child, so, you know, protecting child health, safety, and welfare, because everything we do has an impact on that.
Well, right, and Alaska is, again, unique as opposed to other states where, again, unaware, most of us, that a whole lot of military activity already was occurring there, regardless of the situation with Russia. There are tests that go on there, just off the shore and in your waterways. There are some things that happen there that, frankly, the majority of the nation is not even remotely aware of, because it's being kept quiet. I mean, there's testing that goes on there and stuff like that. And at all times, you got to be in defense of things like your fisheries, because they are extremely important. But also, it's a unique place because I'm pretty sure it's still the case that residents of Alaska actually get some sort of subsidy from the government because of the land use, and because it is so really interesting, the way that energy is sort of being drawn out of Alaska and sent elsewhere. So residents actually get a share of that still, don't they?
We get about $1,000 a year.
Yeah, well,
generally speaking, per person. So if you have a big family, that's a good windfall. But like we were talking about the development of stuff, and I was talking about trying to work with people, like find common ground and stuff. Right. The fellow who passed away up here, whose seat I'm running for, just for the special election, just to do the 4 months in Washington, D.C., and kind of clean it up a little bit and give somebody a fresh start for the two-year term, you know, starting next year.
Mm-hmm.
The person who I would be replacing if I get elected, he and I had disparate political views, as I do with some of the two senators from up here. But I was able to find common ground with this fellow, Don Young, because I've been a medical cannabis patient for more than a decade for cancer. It's helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to get the Congressional Cannabis Caucus going, which he did, partly with my help and some other people's help. And it's been pretty fruitful. So that and fisheries, which you mentioned a moment ago, and you know, rail through Canada, et cetera, or to Canada.
Right.
And one of the senators is interested in the military and defense capabilities with respect to stopping military service people's suicides and sexual assaults, and also the lack of housing for military in many places. So that's common ground, because I, you know, empathize with those concerns. And the other senator is now interested in the challenges that an aging population is facing, especially here in Alaska. So there's common ground, and then trying to move a couple of other little things forward that I might like to do in addition to helping them, you know, while they're making this transition to whoever comes in next year, I think is well worthwhile. So, but you're right, Alaska's a very, very different and unusual set of circumstances. Our defense array is spectacular.
Right.
We're only 50 miles away from Russia, even though I can't see it from my front porch. It's still too close for comfort with, you know, what's going on with Ukraine and the rest of it, or just Russia in general.
Yeah,
you know,
sorry, I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at what you were evoking there, because I will never forget that. I can see it from my porch. But you know, I'm actually surprised that Alaska is not more ahead when it comes to cannabis decriminalization, unlike some other states. But again, Alaska's sort of different.
Alaska made it okay back in the 70s. We were one of the first states, because of privacy laws, to let people do whatever they're going to do in their home without government poking around. That's the way they sort of addressed it 50 years ago.
That's what I was going to say, is that at one time it was one of those places, and I've talked about, you know, the trajectory of cannabis and the legalization and decriminalization on the show a lot. And the fact is, that was one of those places where if you were smoking it in your home, it's nobody's business. At one time, New Jersey had that too, I think after Alaska, where they had that sort of situation. Now it's in a, you know, in a legal state, it's in a different situation. Things have changed over the years, but I think people are starting to learn. And I'm going to tell you something else. I think eventually people are going to learn that psilocybin is something that that people need to lay off of too, because frankly, I know that the Pentagon is doing studies on it now, because you mentioned, you know, troops committing suicide or former military committing suicide, which is a personal issue to me, because my father did that in the 1970s. And, you know, I suffered from PTSD, and quite frankly, even though it's not legal to do so in the state where I sit, I did an entire discussion on this show about how I administered myself psilocybin, and I got to tell you, it literally saved my life. I'm seeing studies on depression. I'm seeing studies, and I'm not a constant user or anything like that, so let's, you know, dispense with that if anybody thinks that. I mean, a regular listener of my show knows. But frankly, if somebody else hears this, says, oh, this guy, no, I'm not. But I utilized the natural medicine and got a result. That's all I'm saying. I'm not even suggesting it for other people. I'm saying it should be looked at. It should be studied. And even right. The Pentagon has begun to put some money toward that. And frankly, if you can keep men and women who are sent in harm's way, okay, to avoid destroying themselves afterwards, I think any tool that is available should be examined and utilized, okay? So I don't care what it is, frankly, and cannabis is one of those things that has helped a lot of other people. I believe in the freedom of that, have utilized it before for anxiety issues and things like that, but either way, it's useful on so many different levels, and people are finally coming around to that, and still we have a federal government which needs to address it fully. So I'm really glad to hear that you're on board with that kind of stuff too, because I think these issues, believe it or not, will lend to a better future, again, coming back to the children. So I'm glad to hear all that, and I wonder what your views are on this, because again, treatment of the individuals, again, who are asked to do this job, who volunteer to do this job in our current time, okay, 50 years ago, there might have been a draft, or 55 years ago, but at this time, people volunteer, and I think it is the responsibility of all of us to take care of them afterwards by whatever means necessary. But anyway, that is an important issue, along with these other things you brought up. And this is basically the three-prong thrust of what it is you would like to address if you can get in on this special election. Is that correct?
Yeah, climate, infrastructure, military, energy, that sort of stuff, yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like you have a well-rounded concept of what it is you want to do. And again, I know it sounded like I was being jokey at the beginning, but I can't help it. But it gets your attention, though. See, that's the great thing here, is that it does get your attention. This is a real guy with real, you know, ideas about, well, let's improve things a little bit. And I think that's absolutely necessary. So before I even lose track of time with you and keep talking, I want other individuals, and I don't know how many listeners I have in Alaska. That's probably not a lot. But whoever it is, I'd like them to pay attention to what it is you're doing. Because, you know, look, again, you and I might have disagreements, like, about, you know, the situation with the pandemic. I think you have a certain view on that, and maybe climate change you and I could have arguments about. But here's something that we can't argue about at all, and that is that it is the responsibility of those in power to do their best to at least preserve what is and attempt to make things better before we wind up handing this off, because eventually that's what we're all going to do, is hand it off to somebody else who is going to live a little longer than us, okay?
That's right.
And it's absolutely our responsibility to try and, I don't know, this concept came to me early in life, always try and leave things better than you found them. And if we constantly did that, whether it's people, places, or things, you know, we might all get along a lot better. Let's tell them where they can find out the website for your campaign, which I have bookmarked, but I don't have in front of me at this very moment. Tell them about.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, before I forget to mention it, you and I share at least one really good gift aside from ministry stuff. And you know what that is?
Go ahead and tell me.
Sense of humor. Sense of humor.
You gotta have
very,
one.
Very, very valuable.
But before you move on to telling me about the website, let me say something. I really appreciate that you get that, because, look, if we don't express a bit of discomfort through humor, and we don't air things out this way, I feel like that's another big problem that anybody can address. It doesn't matter what your political stripe is or where, you know, how you identify yourself or anything. If we can laugh at ourselves a little bit and the situation a little bit, especially when it's either ludicrous, ridiculous, or uncomfortable, I mean, I think that's just one of the healthiest ways to do this. Because if you stay really intensely angry and upset and, you know, about everything at all times, if you don't laugh a little bit, man, you're going to hurt yourself. You know, you really are.
I agree.
So, yeah, but
I agree.
But anyway, yeah, do tell us about the campaign and, you know, exactly where it is you're running, because we know that we could probably have people Google you now and just say, you know, Santa Claus North Pole running for office. But tell everybody exactly what you're running for again, where they can learn more about it. And I'd like people to just learn about you, whether they can vote for you or not, because I think there are many interesting lessons that can be taken from the trajectory that you're on, sir. So go ahead. I'll shut up now tell us about it.
All right. Well, the campaign website is Santa Claus. There's no E in Claus. So SantaClausForAlaska.com. Pretty easy, and four is spelled out. And the Twitter one is SantaClausForAK. AK is abbreviation for Alaska. So you can find plenty of stuff along, you know, my campaign lines. The election is for, I'm running in a special election for the U.S. House of Representatives representing Alaska. My term would end the first week in January of next year, so it's only for a few months. I'm not soliciting or accepting any kind of campaign contributions, whether it's, you know, volunteer stuff or money or materials or anything, because I don't want to deal with that aspect of the Federal Election Commission. It's a waste of time, I think, and I don't deal with parties really well either, although I am more aligned, as you were noting before, probably with the Dems, even though I'm an independent. So if people feel like supporting a campaign, I would encourage them, but just like with PACs, I can't coordinate or direct or control what they're doing. I'd like people independently to be creative, and if they feel like making like a lawn sign or, you know, something for their window, or phone bank with friends or canvas with friends if they happen to be in Alaska, and just send good energy and get on social media. I used to be on Facebook, but I had a huge disagreement with the administration of Facebook, not the platform itself. And I left in 2008 after saying goodbye to my 309,000 Facebook followers, beloved Facebook followers. Anyway, so I'm not on that platform. So if people on other platforms, they feel like saying something nice about the campaign or reposting something I might have had without me giving any specific person a direction to do it, just as a general statement, that would be very welcome. And they don't even have to tell me that if they don't want to, but if it comes from their heart and it's something they think that would indirectly help children down the road or presently, you know, please go ahead and vote for me. As you had mentioned before, we all have varying, you know, political stances on a whole bunch of stuff, but there are a few things I think we all agree on, and that's to, you know, nurture, protect, and love our children.
Well, let me ask you an odd question, because I haven't seen a lot of podcasters pick you up to talk to you yet. And I know for a fact in every state in the country, whether it's Hawaii, it doesn't even matter if it's part of the 48, Hawaii, Alaska, every state has sort of popular things because they're just in that state. Have anybody reached out to you in Alaska, or have you reached out to any podcasters there? Because I have a funny feeling that if you get, and this is totally free, this is something that won't cost you any money, you won't have to spend PAC money or none of that. If you just get, you know, some of the more popular podcasters in Alaska who are just, you know, kind of Alaska centric, so to speak, to have an open discussion with you, I think that would help a lot with a real sort of word of mouth
as well.
Yeah.
I think it would help as well. I haven't so much had that as I have just a big response on Twitter, which has been kind of nice and refreshing. And just last night, just like we're having a nice conversation, mm-hmm. I had a great time with Ashley Banfield on News Nation on the East Coast. And I've been on, I think it's either 15 or 16 podcasts now, most regional, some national. So the word's getting out there. I've even been unsolicited endorsement by Blue America, which is a pack that's been around for a while. And they're just going to do their own thing without, you know, me directing or controlling or coordinating whatever it is that they decide to do.
Right.
So I've been getting some pretty positive feedback and even a couple of attack ads. And that reminds me of the love versus fear paradigm that you're familiar with from ministry stuff.
Of course.
And what I heard coming from the other person was fear. You know, I'm trying to express love in a loving way the best I can, especially given the climate these days.
Right.
And to have somebody attack, it's usually that thing we were discussing before about fear of loss, whether it's, you know, an election or rights or freedoms or however somebody wants to couch it in their own mind. And they're just projecting that onto somebody else. So rather than me going after whoever's attacking me, from what I learned in seminary, et cetera, and in my upbringing, it's better just to say, well, you know, what they said just reminds me of this, you know, kind of ignorance, arrogance, you know, lies and fear, and just kind of let it go at that without saying this person is, you know, whatever, something derogatory. So I'm trying to stay away from that and just try and couch it in, more positive and fruitful terms. And yeah, hopefully people receive the message well. If they don't, they don't. You know, it's not going to, you know, have a profound impact on me personally one way or the other. I would just like to help the greatest number of children that I can, and being in Congress for a short term, I think would help with that to some degree.
Well, I got to say, I also love your attitude, really, because I think I mean to say this in a positive way, not to put anything down here, but regardless of the outcome here, you're going to continue to do your thing. You just would appreciate the ability to reach some more people. And listen, I can't argue with that. Who could? And
plus, at this time of year, they'd get to see Santa in Congress over the holidays.
That would be great.
Whether people celebrate them or not.
Kids
would love it.
I'd say I'm smiling right now just talking to you about this. And usually, frankly, again, because you're not... Again, not an insult. You're not a politician. Okay?
No, I'm not. I'm not in it for the money. I'm not in it for the prestige. I'm not in it for a career.
Right.
I'm in it to, as you said, advocate for child health, safety, and welfare.
Yeah, but that's it. And as strange as that might sound to some people, that's really the ultimate goal here. And, of course, to benefit and to serve others is a noble calling. We all know this, but... You know, some people do it a bit dishonestly or with ulterior motives. Fact is also that if they're attacking you, a couple of attack ads, I was smiling when you said that because, you know, the moment that people start attacking you, you know that you have represented something to them that is uncomfortable. And frankly, people have become far too comfortable with the divisive nature of what it is that we're just... experiencing these days. They become comfortable with the fight. They become comfortable with the harsh tones. They become, you know, I'm going to go and do battle. Everything's a battle and a struggle, and I've got to own people and I've got to beat them. And you know what? Maybe somebody just wants to come in and serve. That's going to freak somebody out if they're in battle mode. This to me means you're definitely doing the right thing, because that's the only way you get attacked. If they're not attacking you, then you're not threatening them. And the funny thing is that even though you're not threatening them, you are threatening them, because this is not the status quo. To just come at people from, listen, I want to serve and I want to spread the idea that we should take care of each other. We should be a little more concerned with what is good for people. And, you know, maybe I've got different views here. And, of course, you'll learn along the way probably about things, and you have as you've gone forward about different things, in order to do the best job you can. And at the end of the day, you want to deal with the situation now to make the future better. I mean, it all sounds overly simplistic to a lot of people. And frankly, again, I get so, oh, I don't know, wrapped up in the jaded nature of all this, that quite often you forget that there are people who actually have an honest desire to do, guess what, representation for people, and actually, you know, represent their best interests the way they know how. And it sounds to me like that's exactly what you're after, and I think that's great. So I want to turn over the last few minutes here, because I know you're busy, and, you know, give you about 7 minutes here if you want to say anything that we missed here. You know, give out a message if you like. Again, the website, which I put in the chat room, and I'll definitely include with the show notes on the podcast and all that. I think I have you on social media, but if I don't, I'll find it. But either way, it's Santa Claus, no E at the end of Claus. All one word, by the way, Santa Claus 4, F-O-R, Alaska.com. And if you go there, first of all, you see a big picture of this man. And he definitely looks like a lot of my friends that I've wound up saying, yeah, you look like Santa Claus. And he does. And that happens to be his name. And you got that story already. And if not, you got to rewind the podcast, because we already told it. But the thing is that I want people to look at this even outside of your area, but I would really love it if somebody's hearing me in Alaska, they have something where they focus on things in Alaska directly. I'd like to see some real organic local support. He's not asking for money. He's not asking for a career out of this. All he's asking for is a chance to try and get involved and do the right thing for a short period of time in a special election. I mean, look at it this way. I would love to see you just get a chance to do that and see what happens, especially with the attitude you have, the fact that you're not going in there to do battle with somebody, to own somebody, you know, to beat somebody. You're going in there to try and help people and do the right thing. And at the end of the day, if you serve the whole population, you make things better, you could actually improve the future a little bit. So I love that, and now I'm turning over 6 minutes to you. Sorry, but no, six minutes to say anything you want.
What you had to say.
So go ahead.
All right. Well, first, before I forget to do it, I wanted to share a blessing with you and all your listeners, and that is, may each of you have a lifetime that's filled with happiness, peace, good health, prosperity, and most of all, love, which is the greatest gift. So thank you for letting me share that, and I'm using that as a lead-in to when I see children, I don't do the ho-ho-ho Santa stuff, and I haven't for a long time, for like 15 years, but when I do see children, if they approach me at the supermarket or at the post office or wherever, usually with their parents or with a teacher or somebody, then I'll get into a discussion with them, and the discussion usually ends with, you know, talk about presents or what they want or whatever, and I'm kind of, it raises my hackles when I think about the crass commercial secular spectacle that Christmas has become in many places. Mm-hmm. And I tend to lead them more towards that blessing. You know, love is the greatest gift, not, you know, all the time. It's nice if you can have presents, sure, you know, if you can afford it, whatever. But if you can't, then, you know, love. And that's more of an important message to leave, I think, with the children and the other stuff. So that's one of the things I would like to, you know, continue doing, irrespective of the political part of it. And I'm hoping that what we're seeing now, you got into it just a moment ago when you were talking about things like, you know, we have to be tough and we're going to beat this or beat that, or our country's better, or this football team had better win, or, you know, all that kind of stuff like you and I were facing when we were doing our little bouncer part of our life. And we get to see that a lot. Yeah. And I would like to see that tempered and get more into the respecting, loving, and nurturing of our children. I even won a little peace prize from the Santa Claus Peace Council, and of all places, Turkey. And it was because of my belief that all children, if we want to ever have international peace, we have to instill peace and love within the heart of each and every child. You know, otherwise, it's an impossible goal unless we do that first. And that takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of concentration, and a lot of love. So I'm hoping to see more of that.
Mm. No, absolutely. And overall, again, this message is pretty simple to my mind. You know, look, it comes down to this. If we do not teach our children, and when I say our children, I don't just mean the ones that you gave birth to. I mean the idea that we're all in some way responsible for what is taught to children at all times, whether you believe it or not, that's the truth. If we do not take the time to teach them about love, they will learn to fear, and fear leads to every other negative thing you can imagine. Even the fact that, quite frankly, again, war in and of itself is a crime. You know, people talk about war crimes right now. It's irrelevant. War right. in and of itself is a crime. The fact that the insecurity that's created, the damage, the collateral damage, they say, I don't know why we got to add collateral. The damage done is the point. And that is what the point is when you don't teach them that side of the equation. You know, Bill Hicks used to say this in front of people, and people retained it, but he's not the only pseudo-philosopher to ever say it, and I know he's not popular necessarily with some of the clergy, but clarity should be popular in my mind with everybody. He would say there's only really two emotions, and they are love and fear. And if you think about it, yes, it all breaks down to that. And I got to tell you, if I've got a choice, you put two plates in front of me and one is love and the other is fear, I think I would much rather consume and share love than fear. So, Santa Claus, I thank you so much, sir, for talking to me today. And I'm looking forward to seeing you win. I think you should win. I hope you win. And even if you don't win, you're already winning because you're doing the right thing. So thank you, sir.
Do you have one less than a minute to do the origin of the Santa, where the name comes from?
Oh.
Listeners might get a kick out of it.
Certainly. You know what I'll do?
Santa Claus is.
I'll wind this back. Here we go. And yeah, go right ahead. We'll close with your story. Go ahead.
Thank you. The origin of my name, Santa Claus, it stems from the Dutch expression for St. Nicholas, which is Sinterklaas. And when the Dutch settled New Amsterdam, which is now New York City, they brought the tradition of the Feast of St. Nicholas with them. And that's usually December 6th in most countries. And since they had very few resources to work with then, they decided, well, you know, St. Nicholas, gift giver, got the Magi coming, gift givers to Jesus. Let's combine the two traditions. So that's how Sinterklaas or Santa Claus became associated with Christmas. Mm. How about that for a little tidbit for listeners?
There you have it. And of course, look, that's a great lesson, not just in the history, but, you know, we can take the concept of one gift and turn it into another, especially if it's something
right.
where an abundance can be generated. You know, a great thing about love in and of itself and the giving, whether it's of your time, your energy, your effort. I've always said that random acts of kindness are great as well, you know, especially when you can afford things that don't cost any money. Quite frankly, it's one of those resources that is as endless as your life is and quite frankly can go beyond. An act of kindness today could be remembered for a long, long time. And it could just be the most simple thing, like acknowledging a human being, acknowledging another person, giving them a gift that gets them through a time period that avoids a tragedy which could be foreseen, all of these things. So, you know, you can take that story and say, look, yeah, they melded together traditions, but there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. I know the commercialization sucks and everything, but frankly, there's nothing wrong with melding together the traditions of positive thinking and of love and making them
right.
part of the equation. So That's what I take from your story, Santa Claus.
Well, thank you for your kindness and for your blessing. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, sir. And thank you so much. And I will say a prayer that you will just be able to continue to do this for as long as you see fit and as long as, as long as the greater power that you would pray to will permit, because you should be able to.
Thank you, Chuck.
Anyway.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Santa Claus. And we'll take your calls in the next hour, guys. Just give me a few minutes during this break here. We'll get all set. And if you want to talk about Santa Claus, we can do that. If you want to talk about anything, it'll be open lines after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.